It's the Mike Tech Show, show number 698. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Mike Smith. Thank you very much for downloading and subscribing to the show. Please visit the main website at miketechshow.com. You can email me questions and suggestions for show topics at miketechshow@gmail.com. You can leave me a voicemail message on Skype. The name is Mike Tech Show, all one word. Follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/MikeTechShow, and also facebook.com/MikeTechShow. This show is brought to you by Instant House Call. Remotely support your customers unattended and on demand through firewalls. Try it free by clicking on my link at the website on the left-hand side at miketechshow.com. And remember to use the promo code MikeTechShow to get your free 15-day trial. And you could also go directly to instanthousecall.com. I want to remind everybody to get your ticket for TechCon Unplugged. That is coming up soon, September 20th to the 22nd in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Go to techconunplugged.com to get all of your details. I will be arriving on Friday afternoon at the airport around 1 o'clock. I have a direct flight from Philadelphia. I wish I had that coming home, but I don't. I have a layover. There were no nonstop flights coming back on Monday. But Monday, I don't take off until like 5 o'clock. So I'm going to be there all Monday morning and a little bit Monday afternoon if you're staying over Sunday night. We have lots of things scheduled. If you take a look at the lineup for the schedule, we're beginning at 4 p.m. with registration on Friday the 20th. And we're going to have a mingle and an intro, a dinner, and then social networking where all of your favorite podcasters, including myself, will be there. That's 7 to 9. And then we kick things off at 8 a.m. on Saturday. We have tremendous content. Take a look at the agenda for Saturday and Sunday. I hope to see you there and have a drink with you, have some fun. Please get your tickets. They're only $199, and that includes all your food, and the hotel is inexpensive, and you're in one location. We have lots of great content, so hope to see you there. Tonight's show, lots to go over. I have power stories from in the trenches, and then it's all about security. I have some great links on some things happening with more breaches and more. But we're going to talk about, and I brought this up a while ago, but it bears repeating. What do you do? What should you communicate to your customers? Not only protecting yourself, that's not the problem. It's not protecting yourself. It's what do you have to do because your data has been breached? It's not if anymore. It has been. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. We live in that kind of a world. So how do you protect your identity? And that's more important because there's going to be a breach. Then I have some great emails and a voicemail for tonight on a follow-up from last week's show. So let's get started with stories from the trenches. When this happened, I can't make this up. This was last Thursday. There was no show last week because I spent the weekend in Pittsburgh. We got up at 5 a.m. Actually, we left at 5 a.m., my sons and myself, and we went to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, to see the Phillies games Friday night, Saturday night, who were away, and the heat just killed us. I mean, it was just so hot last weekend. And even when we got back Sunday night, it was really hot here. So Thursday, I get a call that the internet is down at one of our clients. And I was like, okay. But their phones were up. Very strange. They have Netcarrier. And I said, call Netcarrier and see what's happening. And it's funny because that's going to lead to the second problem. I have them call NetCarrier. They say, we're good with the voice over IP. They see that everything's up. Clearly, the internet has to be up. I said, I will send my son over to check things out. And he was coming back from another client. And I said, look, just head right over. This client's literally around the corner from my home office. The UPS went off. And one of the users, because the UPS was making a noise, I can't make this up, she turned it off to stop the noise. This is the receptionist. Turned off the UPS to stop the noise. So that means server went down, the router went down. Now, NetCarrier has, we have a separate connection for the phone system coming in. So that's why we kind of divide the internet in front of the router. That allowed the phone to be working, but not the internet. They heard the noise, the beeping, and turned it off. My son turned it on, and that cleared everything, and it's fine. So something must have been a power surge or something happened, and the error light came on. It started making some noise. And that's another thing I have to start doing, which is we need probably a new battery in there. And with the extreme heat and with all of the temperatures going up, you have thunderstorms and lightning hits and just terrible strain on the power and power outages. So here's how extreme one power outage was. So everything I'm talking about is Thursday the 18th. We had terrible storms on Wednesday night, the 17th. It was really bad. I, knock wood, I did not lose power here. The storms were bad. And Thursday, literally all day, was responding to different power issues with clients. So now I get a call. They have internet, but no phone. And they are with NetCarrier for the phone system. I'm like, that is very strange. I talked to one of the people at this client and I have them reboot the different devices. No joy. They have no dial tone. I call NetCarrier and it doesn't even ring. It says there's a problem. I'm like, wow. So I keep trying. I finally call tech support and he informs me, I can't believe when it does ring, I actually get a human being within seconds. He informs me there is a massive NetCarrier outage on the East Coast. They are aware of it. They're working on it. I was happy, and he couldn't believe I was happy. He's like, I said, I'm just glad it's not, we know what it is. I mean, yes, it's inconvenient for my client, but it's towards the end of the day. They're a manufacturer. Yes, it's an inconvenience, but it's nice knowing that we know where the problem is. So it's not a piece of hardware or something to replace. But this is what I'm impressed with. Since I'm the technical contact on the account, the next day, on Friday, I get the following email and I send this to management at the company, and it's a reason for outage. And this is from NetCarrier. Good morning. As you may be aware, NetCarrier experienced a network outage yesterday that could have intermittently affected your service. We want you to know that we appreciate your patience during this outage. Below is a link for the reason for outage, RFO. We're going to talk about this. If you have any questions or concerns, please do not hesitate to reach out to our technical support team at any time. Thank you. And there's a link to the RFO. And the reason why I'm impressed with this is I had the very same procedure when I was in the corporate world. If there's an outage of any kind, you have to generate an RFO. And I was very impressed with this. There's basically five sections: a summary, root cause, fix action, duration, and the current status. This is a perfect outline for any organization if you provide any services and there's an outage, this is what you communicate to your customer. It shows you're on the ball and you're answering all the questions that they had. Hey, how did this happen? What is it? What went wrong? And is it fixed? And what are you doing to make sure that it's not going to happen again? So the summary, they put the date and they experienced intermittent inbound and outbound call failure. The root cause, first, we had a primary call setup SS7 link fail. With our redundancy, no services were affected. We scheduled a repair crew to address and fix the failure during our normal overnight maintenance window. However, Verizon had a higher level issue amplified by a weather-related event, which caused our secondary SS7 link to intermittently fail. They have the fix action, the duration. It started at 1:42 p.m. Eastern Time and was all cleared at 6:50 p.m. Eastern Time. The current status is our redundant nodes have been replaced and all SS7 links are fully functional and passing traffic as expected. This is textbook reason for outage. I was so glad to see this from a vendor. And you rarely see this. And I would love to see this from Comcast or Verizon, and you're just not going to. But having the phone service and the company do this, my client, even though they suffered the outage, you're not happy that you were down, but you feel good that, hey, the company communicated. They gave us details. They answered questions that everybody's going to have for their business clients. This is textbook in what you should be implementing if within your organization and communication to your internal customers and your external customers if they're impacted. I had to provide this for our internal customers in the corporate world. If there was any kind of a network outage or a server outage, or especially to senior management, and I made sure my team would fill out this procedure and communicate it to the proper department heads and make sure that the information was disseminated amongst all the relevant parties. I was very impressed that NetCarrier went through this, and I wanted to communicate that because this is what you should be implementing when you have an outage. But that wasn't all. Yesterday, one of my clients calls. They have two servers and they're both down. So this is, again, is an end user playing with the UPS when the UPS had a problem and turned off the UPS and didn't know how to get it back on. But at least he admitted up front, Mike, and he used a different word, I really messed things up. And he came clean. I said, I'll get my son over there in a few minutes, because he was on his way back from picking up a very important system that's going to be a story for next week that we had to take care of that failed. That's a mission critical label printer system for a company. And we had to take care of that last night and get it all straightened out. And we did. So he ran over and I talked to my son. I said, look, just head right over. If the UPS doesn't fire up and doesn't come on, then what I want you to do is just get a surge strip, bypass it, get those two servers back online. And when he got there, UPS was okay and he got it rebooted and everything turned on. And then he started up both servers. He called me so I could check instant house call to make sure I could log in and then everybody could get to the shares. Happy, happy. Everything was great. But again, thank God we have the UPSs. You have to have them because they are protecting the equipment from the power fluctuations and the surges and everything that's happening. But again, you got to be ready to replace them, be ready to replace batteries. You have to deal with outages as these UPSs take the brunt, which they're supposed to, for the first line to protect your equipment on all of these power problems. And we are having a terrible season of storms and excessive heat. All right, enough with the power. Now I want to focus on security, but a couple things I want to let everybody know, a couple links and where I got them. I follow a person that's a media, I guess, tech person. Her name's Amber Mack. You may know of her from the video podcast Command N that she doesn't do anymore. I'm going to have her Facebook link in the show notes because there are lots of little great articles and information that she posts that I think is relevant, worthy enough to follow. And I'm going to review a couple of them. One of them that I found out, and this is not the security related, but it was just a tip, and I had to throw that out there because I have lots of iPhone clients. How to clear the cache on your iPhone to free up storage and space and help it run faster. It's also, if you accidentally go to a link that then pops up a message on the phone saying, call this 800 number, you're infected, blah, blah, blah. It's a false error. And the only way to do it, you got to navigate to settings, pick Safari, and you got to delete and clear all of the history and website data. So when you do that, it will clear up that false error, that scam that pops up. It's also a good idea to do this every now and then just to, it clears all the cache and your phone will run faster. Take that information also to any iPad, any tablet that you have. Great tip. And it was a nice reminder since I follow Amber on her on Facebook. It was nice seeing a couple things. So here's the next one, which is Israeli security company reportedly has a tool that spies on Apple, Google, and Facebook cloud data. Okay, we know that. We know Facebook is not secure. We know they're selling our information. They don't care who they sell it to. I know they say they don't sell it anymore. Of course they do. You have your information. Apple, Google, Facebook, Microsoft, your data is going to get compromised. And these are big companies, and we all have to have accounts. I'm going to throw Adobe in there. They had many hacks. What do you do? Well, let's table that for a second as we go to the next link, which is antivirus companies now flag malware from China installs on tourist phones. So you're like, what? If you're visiting China and you're entering their country, you can't enter unless you install this malware-infected app on your phone. That's right. You're forced to do this. So it's making me think, wow, if you travel international now, you almost have to have a flip phone or a burner phone just to get in the country and somehow hide and pack your smartphone so you're not forced to put apps that you don't want to that are absolutely infected. That's insane. That's if that's where we're living and that's the world we're in now, which I believe it is, then what you need to do is you need to follow what I am going to cover next. Again, I started the podcast with your data has been compromised. Your information has been compromised. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. It's not, oh, I think I'm good at that. No, your information has been compromised. We live in a world that no matter what we do, you got to assume that information is going to be compromised. One of the best ways to handle this, and this was put together by Malwarebytes Labs in 2017. And to this date, it is the best, most comprehensive steps that I'm going to review. And I did this when it came out a couple years ago. This is the most comprehensive list of steps and information that you should communicate and follow in protecting your identity. And this was right after the Equifax, after all that aftermath with the Equifax breach. What could happen? Someone could open financial accounts, apply for credit cards. They could get medical care at your expense, file for a tax refund in your name, get a job in your name, and let you pay the taxes. They could steal your benefits. Now, there's a section, who's impacted? Well, today, that answer is everyone has been impacted. What are the steps to protect your information? And this is the critical, critical information. You have to freeze your credit at all of the credit bureaus. That's Equifax, Experian, TransUnion, and Innovis. So we got four places. And in this link in the show notes, you have the website to go to and the phone number. Every state varies whether you pay for that or it's free. I don't think every state is free. You have to check this out. They may charge up from $10 to $13 per service to freeze. Now, what this means is nobody can get credit without you unfreezing it. So they can't steal your identity. They'll try, but they can't do anything past the credit bureaus because you are locked down and frozen. As a matter of fact, if you have minors, you should do this for them. One of the things, now, Taz in the chat, my moderator, Mike Cooley, says that it's free now in the U.S. I wasn't aware that it's free because I know when I did it, I had to pay. So if it's free now, that's great, because one of the things that I thought should be part of any remediation of any data breach is the company should have to pay for the freezing of your credit on all these bureaus, these credit agencies. To me, that is the absolute minimum that a company should do for every account that's breached. Yeah, that's right. That's a lot of money, especially if, you know, it's in the billions. If you can freeze for free, that is awesome. Then there is absolutely no excuse. If you're in the sound of my voice, you should absolutely be doing this as soon as possible. Now, what are best practices? We know we want, this is the biggest one. The scams that are being used is the social engineering. It's the false phishing emails that get you to click on something. The phone scams where they pretend they're the IRS. They pretend they're Microsoft. Now they're even pretending they're Google. I've had so much work in helping clean up systems for people allowing strangers to remote into their computer and get their credit card info. And I always have the classic story of one of my financial advisors, their client, an older lady, fell for a scam where she thought she was talking to the IRS. She gave them her credit card, and the next day they called back. Now, they used the credit card and stole the number and racked up charges. They called back and said, it didn't work. Do you have another credit card? And of course, she gave them a second credit card. So she had both credit cards compromised. This is what's happening. Hopefully anybody listening, regular listener to the show, that's not going to happen to you. You know better. But there are too many people out there that don't know, that fall for it all the time. I've even had a couple today, a couple people, clients, literally saying, Mike, can I download this? And I'm like, no, please, for downloading this utility. They're like, okay, I won't do it. I would rather clients contact me. I've got my clients at a point where when the Malwarebytes renewal pops up or the update pops up to update, they're afraid. And they will text me or email me, should I apply this update? And I would rather that they take the moment and notify me. It's not wasting my time. It's why they're my clients. I want to be able to help them. And there are a few clients that they will email me, and it's not an inconvenience. I will absolutely respond. And I'd rather an email or a text, because then it's very, very easy for me to respond back, yay or nay. And I love it when they take a little screenshot of the pop-up. So this way I know what they're talking about. And the famous one is, my computer's talking to me, telling me to call this 800 number. And I'm like, close down your browsers. If I can remote in, we'll fix it. Instant house call, I'll call them. If they don't have unattended mode, if they do, if they're a regular client, then I have instant house call unattended. And if, as long as the internet's up, I could remote in and I can fix that. It's not a hard fix because they changed their homepage to go to a website that then starts talking to them to, please call this number. Your system has been infected, where in fact that is the infection. So getting back to the phone scams, the text scams, your social security account allows you to keep track. The My Social Security account allows you to keep track of the social security funds you'll be collecting in the future. Make sure it's valid. And then one of the big ones that are required, any financial institution, all of your banks, all of your credit cards, you have to enable two-factor authentication, or they may call it multi-factor authentication. That's when you type the in and go to the website and you enter your password, it then prompts you for a code that they will send you a text. So when you're setting this up, you make sure your smartphone phone number, your mobile phone, is used for authenticating. And then you can know that only you. New phone accounts. Here's a common, I like this, a common attack is that new phone accounts through your provider with your account, they have your info. They'll call up the phone company and say they want to add a new line, but they don't have a PIN number. If you don't set up a PIN number with your phone company already, they have no way to verify your account. So guess what? There's a new phone on your bill. You must set up PINs for verification. It's why GoDaddy not only has two-factor authentication that you could you imagine someone going in and changing your mail MX records or your clients? I had that happen on my watch for a client, and it's not fun. Never dreamed of the GoDaddy account being hacked. Any GoDaddy accounts now, we have two-factor authentication with the business owner, and I can't even go in and do anything unless they are standing by, ready to provide me with the code. Here's another one, and this is for taxes. You file them as soon as possible because there are many tax return frauds where they will try to file first. First one in wins. So you want to make sure you file your taxes as early as you can. Even when someone else files, it's the second one that gets flagged as the fraud. And that's the problem. And you can definitely work your way out of this with the IRS. But one of the problems, you have to go through the whole process of getting this all squared away and cleaned up. It's a lot of time and it's a lot of effort and it could be money. This link, if you follow this, you're prepared for all the breaches that could happen in the future, for freezing your credit, two-factor authentication, and being careful. Be aware of the social engineering aspect. And we all communicate this to our clients, and we will be protected. Then I will add backup, backup, backup of all your data. So if you do get hit with ransomware, who cares? Redo the system. Load, restore from backup. It's people that don't have backups that are impacted by ransomware. Now we're going to move on to voicemail and email for the rest of the show. Give a listen to this voicemail from Nancy on just a great tip from last week's show.
Hey, Mike, for the guy that wanted to transfer data from one computer to another directly, if they're on the same network, he can map an administrative share to the C drive using the computer name as the server name, and then the share would be C dollar sign, and then he'd be able to get onto it.
Nancy, thank you for taking the time to record that what an awesome tip that I forgot about, which is the admin share. When you add a dollar sign to the share name, it's hidden, but it's still there for you to be able to map to. And as long as you map as an administrator account and the C dollar, there you go. So great tip. This next email is from Ed. And I was listening to your show 697 about using a crossover cable to connect two PCs together. The below link has the information about crossover cables. If you have a gig NIC in your two computers, you don't need a crossover cable. You could just plug a standard Ethernet cable between the two NICs. I didn't know that. I mean, I guess because you know what? I haven't used a crossover cable in years, which I mentioned last week, but just get a network cable to connect the two computers. You know, I have to do that just to see what the best way to use FABS to transfer data using FABS Auto Backup 7 Pro across an Ethernet connected two systems. And I need to test that. We're going to do that here in my office, my son and I, because we've ran into this. And what we do, I'll tell you, the easy way is take the hard drive out of the source system and just remotely connect it. And we do a transfer. We either have a USB cable, if it's a USB to SATA cable, if it's a laptop drive, if it's a regular mechanical hard drive, then we have the docking station that goes from SATA to USB that's powered, and we slide the drive in. That's how we normally do it, but I'd love to see how fast it is and what we could do across gig Ethernet between the two computers. That's a great idea. So thank you for that link. That's a Wikipedia link on Ethernet crossover cable. Next email from Dexter. And Dexter and I have been going back with a couple little issues that I was having where I was getting that permission. I was getting an issue with Office, which, by the way, a few weeks ago, I talked about the problem that my client still has in being able to view the preview of Word documents without getting an error. This is a horrible little problem. And also, we were talking about Instant House Call failing to install and trying to get it to work. And this is from Instant House Call. It's an error 2502 and 2503 on install. And he shared this and incorrect permissions on the Windows installer directory. So I actually have to look at this particular directory, and it may fix another problem that has nothing to do with Instant House Call. But this is a little article to check on the permissions of the installer directory. Thank you very much, Dexter, for that. This is from Mike. As always, thanks for doing the shows. Your podcast is one of the ones I look most forward to. I have a question. You can share on the show if you feel it has merit. I have a friend who has a Samsung Galaxy Note 2. I have not physically seen it, but they are fairly sure its motherboard is dead. The LED does not light when plugged in, and they have also changed out the battery, but no joy. Could be AC adapter, and we'll have to have him double check. He has researched online about the chip off data recovery and found a price of about $300. And he was wondering if there was a cheaper way to recover his data. Now, I don't have experience with recovering data from the phones, but there are, and I've mentioned this, I've had clients use it and it's been successful, $300 drive recovery. And I've always often mentioned this service. $300 seems to be the going rate for recovering data. Now, to some of you, that's going to sound very, very high. To some of you, you're like, well, it's your data. That's very reasonable. I will make an effort to recover data. I don't have a clean room. I don't specialize in that, but I will try to get a drive to connect, and I will try to connect. I've had Windows drives that could not connect on a Windows system where I plugged it into my Mac and Linux, because it's really, you know, Unix-based, and I was able to mount the drive, and I was able to get the data off. That has happened. If I have a client where they have that come in, or it's a friend of a friend usually, because if it's my client, they have a backup. If they don't, this usually somebody that somebody knows. I will take a shot. I will bill an hour of my time to take a look at it. And then I may bill another hour to have to transfer everything if I'm successful. Depending on who they are, I usually at least bill an hour for looking at it. And $300, as I wrote back, is not unreasonable. Someone in the chat, they've paid as high as $900 for phone data recovery. I can believe it. There are services out there that's drive savers that they charge, I think, $1,200 just to take a look at it. And there's no guarantee. So keep that in mind. A story from Dr. Dave. So glad to hear you're going to Grand Rapids. Can't wait, Dave, to meet up with you in Grand Rapids. It's been a while, so I'm looking forward to it. Listen to the show last week. Remember, you're my workout buddy, and have some stories. The best one was when, and this is from the corporate world, the director of accounting was having an affair with a vice president. That was against company policy, as she was a direct report to him, and also they were both married and did a few getaways on the company dime. Outside counsel wanted copies of both hard drives in pristine state without them knowing that a copy was being made. The director of HR and the CEO were the only two that knew about this. I had to be very careful with timestamps of anything, since it could show on access logs, including even accessing their offices. I had to follow the cleaning person in and even wore a jumpsuit, since it would show on video camera who was there for security. Right out of a spy movie. And yes, I was having a little fun with that too. I had to lie about my invoice and submit it differently. It went in as working on the CEO's computer. I was working for someone else at the time who was doing contracted IT, so I had to hide it from my employer. The CEO, I trusted and promised to back me up, but they didn't want to tip off the VP that people were wise to the affair. Apparently, they were caught in a hotel room on the company dime shortly thereafter. Fun and scary at the same time. I was also on the transition team when someone left the company. I was there on site most every day, so seeing me wasn't a big deal. But there were strict protocols on termination. While the employee was in HR, I had to go in, disable all sorts of access while the employee was in there, and I was not surprised when I had the 2-4 request of the director of accounting and the VP. Take it easy, man, Dave. Dave, thanks for the story. And this was in response to my story on the last show about having a client. I have a new client that they're getting ready to terminate some people high up, and I had to go in under the guise of doing a security assessment and make sure I could get into everything. I have access, and I actually put a backdoor into the server, so this way I could have access in case the IT person that is a contractor maybe would try to do some things if he sniffed out that this was going to happen. Because just to remind everybody, the IT person is friends with the president and they're going to be getting rid of the president. So I could spend days and days of being the enterprise network manager of a $3 billion company. The stories that I have of working with HR and things that I had to gather and do is just mind-boggling and could fill up tons and tons of time. As a matter of fact, what a great Tech Vets show. I'm going to mention that to Carrie. This last email, I am so proud to be able to give the answer because I have not given this person enough credit over the years. I'm rediscovering, this is Andrew, I'm rediscovering you after a decade-long hiatus. Yeah, I've been doing this a long time for any new listeners. I was an adamant follower through the mid to late 2000s. I'm happy to be back and see you still have the same passion with engaging and useful content. Very inspiring. I have some questions, but today I have a simple one. Can you reveal the composer and MP3 for your theme song? It's always been with me, and I'd be grateful to know. I replied back to Andrew right away. The artist is Rob Coslow at www.robcoslow.com. The song is from his collection, Woods of Chaos, and it's Reflections, and I edited that, and I have Rob's full permission to play his music, and I love his piano music. Check him out. You will be so impressed. I'll never forget this. Way back, Barbara, who's a huge fan, listener of the show, and we haven't seen her in the chat for a while, Citizen X. Anyway, she, on a birthday of mine, went back and contacted Rob, and Rob actually sent her a happy birthday recording to me, done personally on the piano, and that was so impressive. Barbara also reached out to Liz Longley, and I have a personal birthday song from Liz Longley, the artist who I love playing. Just gives me chills when I listen to his music. He's got a very definitive style that is worth looking at if you like piano music. He is very, very good. And Rob, I thank him so much for allowing me to use that for the piece of the song for the intro and outro that you hear every week on the podcast. That is it for tonight's show. The best way for you to support the show is to use Carrie Holzman and myself, our Amazon link. It's in the show notes of every show at MikeNation.net. And when you go there and click on the link, then you add the items to your cart. If they're already in your cart, we won't get credit. But if you add those items after you click our link on that session, anything that you purchase and check out, we will get a small commission and your price stays the same. That's a huge help for Tech Vets, Carrie's YouTube videos, my Mike Tech Show. Thank you so much for using that link. Instant House Call, check it out, instanthousecall.com, and also Fabs Auto Backup 7 Pro. Amazing for transferring all your information from one system to another. That's it. I know I mentioned next Thursday there may not be a show, but I think there's going to be a show. So we're going to say see you next week, same time, same channel. Bye-bye, everybody.
You've been listening to The Mike Tech Show, a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Please visit techpodcast.com.